If you have a Bible this morning, over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. Book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. I'm glad my hope is in the blood this morning. Second Kings, chapter number 6. If you're willing and able, can stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Found over in 2 Kings, chapter number 6. A story about Elisha. His mentor was Elijah. Elijah done many great things with the Lord. Elisha has caught his mantle. He's doing great things for God. We pick up this passage right after Naaman the leper has been healed. Can I tell you, God's still in the healing business this morning. Now it picks up in chapter 6, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, or it's too narrow, too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered and said, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling, or when one was chopping a beam or a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he done something that got my attention. He cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God." Aren't you glad you've known a man of God? "And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for the good day that you've given us. God, life is so fragile. I want to pray specifically, as the men prayed last night, and especially for Sister Amy this morning. God, would you help her, and Brother Shane, would you touch our sister and help her in this pathway of their life? Help little Braden today. God, help this family that we've mentioned today has a great need in our church family. Would you help this family, oh God, in this hour? I pray now that you'd help us preaching this morning to be a blessing. I ask you, Lord, I ask that the Spirit of God would help me and lead me this morning. Thank you for this tabernacle that we can join together. Come out from this old world. I want to thank you for the people that has put forth effort to make this possible. But Lord, you're the reason we're here this morning. We've come to worship you and to sing unto you and to hear from your word. Now I pray you'd stir in our hearts. Would you stir in my heart and help me this morning? In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on the chopper this morning. He was chopping wood. Some of you Braves fans may say, "Chop, chop, chop." But within this passage, we do have a man that found himself busy chopping. He was chopping wood. He was being very productive for the house of God. Within this passage, you'll notice in chapter number 5, as I've related to, that Naaman the leper, he was a highly decorated general in the army. He He was a very decorated man with medals. He is a warrior, but he had an issue. The Bible says, but he was a leper. Leprosy is a type of sin. And so there Elisha met him, told him, go to the Jordan River. You remember that? He didn't like what the man of God said of how to do it. And he said, well, aren't the things that we have good enough? And he said, no, you must do it the Bible way. Go down to Jordan. Dip 7 times. And when he came up the 7th time, the Bible said his flesh became as a little child. Well, there was a servant in the background named Gehazi. Gehazi was very close to Elisha, but he was not true blue. He was in the ministry. He was in the things of God for what he could get out of it. He didn't care nothing about God nor Elisha. He just wanted what he could get out of the service. So the Bible said when Naaman was on the way home that Elisha went home and Gehazi run to him and he said, you know, my master Elisha's done something great for you. You ought to give us some gold and silver and changes of raiment like Elisha sent him to ask him to do that. But he lied. Elisha's back home and he's looking. And so the Bible said that Naaman gave Gehazi these gifts. So Gehazi, he went back home and he hid these gifts. But there was a problem. God knew about it. See, there's always a problem. We think we're getting by. We ain't getting by. God is a looking. And so Elisha confronted him. So Gehazi simply lied to the man of God. And the Bible said that the Lord struck him with leprosy. And look now in chapter number 5 and verse 27. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. What in the world's going on, preacher? Why did you bring that up? Because it takes me right into my sermon. First of all, watch this, the chopper. There is an examination. The Bible said, and the sons of the prophets in chapter 6, verse 1, said unto Elisha. Now watch what the Bible says. Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Well, first of all, in this examination, you'll see in verse 27, there was a disappearance. Gehazi had left. There was a school of prophets there, and that old spirit of Gehazi had held them back. He was a crooked rascal. He didn't care nothing about God. He didn't care nothing about the ministry. All he wanted was the gold and the silver. And honey, that kind of spirit will keep any place from going and growing for the glory of God. But God did something for this bunch of people. He struck him with leprosy and he went out. And now the Bible says, now we can grow. Can I tell you, we don't need that kind of spirit in our church. No kind of jealousy and animosity. We need to be here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason we ought to park our car on this hillside. We ought not come here to see who's who, who's here, what somebody's wearing or driving. But we ought to have our eyes on the Heavenly One where He saved us one glorious day and called us out of the hell itself. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And so that old spirit of Gehazi that left. And now the Bible said, now we've got room to do something. So chapter 6, verse 1, there's a examination. You'll notice there was a disappearance. Oh, Gehazi had left. But now in verse 1, there's a dissatisfaction. Now I'm going to preach to everybody this morning. This is shotgun preaching. This ain't rifle preaching. This is scattergun preaching this morning. Now watch this. The sons of the prophet said to Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with these too straight for us. They got dissatisfied. They realized that they needed to do something for God. They realized the place was too tight. They needed to make room for God. Have you ever got dissatisfied with what you got in your life and realized you need to make room for God? If there's ever been a day and an hour when this generation needs to make room for God, it is in this day and this hour. There was a dissatisfaction. There was a disappearance. But then, thirdly, there was a desire. They wanted improvement. You know, none of us would ever do much for God unless we wanted improvement. I'm a long way from where I was 35 years ago, but I've not arrived yet. This flesh still bothers me. This mind still cripples me. This world still allures me. This devil and flesh still tempts me. And I wonder this morning, is there anybody that is dissatisfied with the room for God at where you live? So there was a disappearance, a dissatisfaction, but there was a desire. They wanted improvement. Shouldn't we all want to be better at serving Him? Shouldn't we all want to be better at being a Christian? Folks, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's difficult to be a Christian. But our Bible teaches us to be a Christian. And we should never get satisfied. We should never get at ease in Zion. There's always room for improvement. You'll notice the greatest sports authorities in this country, they still miss shots. They still strike out. So it is in the Christian walk of life. We've never arrived, but let me tell you, there's coming one golden daybreak, honey, when I'm going to see Jesus and I'm going to lay all this flesh down and all these tears down, and I'm going to make it and arrive just fine. But until then, we need to think about improvement in our life. Now, there was a disappearance. There was dissatisfaction. There was a desire, but look where it takes them. There was a direction, the Bible said in verse number 1. Behold, now the place where we dwell, these two straight for us. Let us go, in verse 2, we pray thee, unto Jordan. I've been preaching on Jordan the last 2 weeks. Isn't it amazing? Many times in order to make room for God, He'll take you down to the Jordan River. Can I tell you, the Jordan River is a very difficult place. A lot of times down at Jordan, we thank God has left us. But honey, you'll never know anything about God on the mountain. But let me tell you, when you'll find out about this God of the valley, when you're walking through the valley, then you'll find something out about the God of this Bible down at your Jordan. So this morning, their direction, they went down to Jordan. I don't like Jordans. Oh, I don't like Jordans when they've overflowed its banks and there's no bridges, there's no boats. You've got to go across it by faith. So in order for them to make room for God, they must visit Jordan. I want to say something as your pastor today. This church has experienced several Jordans through different families that make up this assembly. But you'll all have to agree with me that Jordan has been difficult. But you'll have to agree with me on this statement. Jordan has made room for God at your house. It always does. And so here this morning, there's an examination. But secondly, there is an example. Let's see what they did. Now, let me tell you what's happening. There's a school of young preachers here. This is the fourth time that Elisha has visited these schools. He was a circuit type pastor. He would go around these different places and he would school these young prophets. He was teaching them through the experiences of life and the scripture. So he goes into this place and that old spirit of Gehazi is gone. And now they say, you know what? We can do some things for God now. Let's go out. So let's look what the Bible says. There's an example. First of all, there was a plea involved in verse number 2. Let us. You see, it's never been one man doing anything. It's always been a group of people that would get anything going for God. And I like what one of the commentators said last night, Brother Daniel, about this subject. He said, isn't it amazing? This is one of the darkest times in the nation of Israel when the whole land had turned to idolatry, but the things of God was growing. Can I tell you this morning, this world's getting more wicked every day that we live. But honey, it ain't killing the church. It ain't stomping out the church. Coronavirus won't never stop the church. Honey, it may bring some saints across the river, but it will not stomp out the church. For the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will stand till He comes back for her. And so here this morning, you see things were beginning to progress, even though things are dark and things were bad. There was a plea, let us. And secondly, it was a plan. He said, let us go. You know, it takes action. We can't just sit and make things happen. You must put energy in order to make things happen for God. In our life, in our facilities, in our ministry, in your marriage, in raising your children, in your job, you must put effort in it. Go. Then notice this plea, this plan. But I like this in verse 2. There were prayers. Don't forget about praying. Praying. They said, we pray thee unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam. So there was a plea, a plan. There was prayers. But then in verse 2, there was people. Let every man, that means every individual. I'm going to get to this specifically in a moment. Hang on with me. It takes everybody, every man, everybody, the people, but then the project, let us. But then look at the preacher. He said, go ye. You know what they asked the man of God? We feel like we can do something. You know what he said? The timing looks right. I'm going with you. Can I tell you, the preacher can't go by himself, and the people can't go by themselves. It takes a unified effort with the people and the man of God and the presence of God, and we can do things like we've never seen in this day, in this hour. So therefore, you see this examination. We see this example, but now look at this exemption. Something happened. I don't know why anybody thinks the Bible is so boring. The Bible's so exciting. Look what happens. There's an exemption, verse 4. So he went with them, the man of God. They came to Jordan, a bad place, a dark place, a very difficult place, and they cut down wood. Man, they was chopping. They was getting things done. Could you imagine? I don't know how many it was, but we know it was a group of people and they wanted to make room for God. Let me ask you today as your preacher, is there anybody want to make more room for God in your life, in your home, at your job, at your church, down in your car? Make room for God. And so we see this exemption there. Chopping, cutting. Verse 5. Here's the excitement. But as one was felling a beam, or as one was chopping wood, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. It was borrowed. It was such a high commodity. They had nothing. Matter of fact, this word borrow, it means to beg. They were so poor, they had nothing. But he realized that he needed to borrow something to get something done. And so here, this exemption, the work came to a stop. The axe head came off and it went into the bottom of Jordan. You know, with this exemption, I see an expression. And I'm going to preach just a moment in this area in verse 5. He said, not only has the work stopped, but alas, master, for it was borrowed. It wasn't mine. Can I take a time out this morning to just do a little pastor Sunday school teaching? Them children are not, you don't own them. They're borrowed. They are a gift that God has given unto you. Your talents, your gifts, even in your profession, God has made you good at what you do. I want to remind you, it's just borrowed. You may think you own that car. You may think you own them clothes you got, honey. But nothing is ours. It's all the King of Glory. And He's been good to entrust us with things that we have borrowed. Now another thing. This is where it gets down to Christian living. It bothered him that he couldn't return something back as good as he got it. That ought to trouble us when we borrow something. And somebody ever borrowed something from you and never did bring it home? You know, preachers are bad about giving books out to read. I mean, I'm guilty. I looked in my bookshelf the other day and there's a preacher. I remember when he gave it to him, the Sermon on the Mount, Brother Jake. I stayed in the preach here. Had the preacher's name in it. I won't say it because he heard it on Facebook and called me and want it back. Somebody say amen. You know, somebody come and borrow your car. It's full of gas and clean. They bring it back home. They've been off at deer camp. It's on empty. Seats is tore up. Let me tell you, when we borrow somebody else's something, we ought to bring it back better than how we got it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to go home and clean your stuff out that other people own. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. So here we see this expression. It was borrowed. You see, he was very diligent in his daily work. But he was negligent in his daily watch. What happened? Could anybody think this morning, maybe what happened? This expression in verse 5, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." What does this really mean? Well, it means that the work he was doing stopped. Then it means simply this is what it really means. He lost his effectiveness. We better be real careful about our effectiveness, our testimony, who we are. You see, he lost his effectiveness. And another thing I want to highlight here, he lost the blessing that he had. I was at a place a few years ago. I was talking to a man the other day. Brother Mike has influenced me a lot in many areas, but he got me interested in cars one time. I'm glad I took a Tylenol and got over that. Somebody save me. And he got me in old cabins and antiques, and I ain't got over that yet. I was down at an old antique place one day, and I seen something that got my attention. Something that some of you know very much about. This is a forged axe head. I'll bring it back in front. That's late right there. This is a forged axe head. You don't buy this down at the hardware store. This an old ironsmith. He got and he would put a lot of heat to this old axe head and he would beat it out on an anvil and he made it into what he wanted it to do. So I have this on a plaque in my study and this is what it simply says. "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." I never want to take for granted the things that God has entrusted me with in this Christian journey. I got to thinking about when this axe head came off. It's was a very precious piece of metal, a very pricely commodity in that day. Did you know all the pioneers that cut out the country, you know, one of the most valuable things they would ever have in their pack was an axe. They had to cut to build a fire. They had to build a home. They had to build schools. They had to build churches. They had to have this very precious commodity, an axe head. Well, you'll notice when he was busy working, any of you that has worked with these, you realize for this to be effective, don't nobody get spooked out. This ain't a Walking Tall movie. In order for it to be effective, it must have this handle on it. Now I ask you, when he was busy and he was chopping and he was working, I wonder, did he ever feel it get loose? Then I ask you this, maybe he took this big lick and it broke. I don't know if it broke off, if it slipped off, it came off. But one thing about it, it come off. I see a lot of people used to come to church like this, not to hurt nobody, but I've seen some of them. Somebody say amen. But to stay sharp for God. Stay sharp for God. They get out of the car. Get out to do the work that God needed done that day. Some singing, some testifying, some praying, some preaching. Somewhere along the line in that work, that handle became loose. Maybe it took such a blow. Now I've had a lot of licks hit me, friend. And I've seen that handle start to come off. And instead of coming in the house of God this way, now we're coming in this way. Have you ever tried to cut down wood without this? How much energy do we spend hitting, working without what God has given us to be used? This morning, I got to thinking, me and Brother Mike found a man at Tuscaloosa who was building a cabin, me and Miss Renee. He brought some logs, and I guess this is getting back to where I was preaching to start with, but I didn't borrow this, but he left it. Y'all ever seen anything that old timey? Matter of fact, Brother David, I was hoping he wouldn't come back after it. I love that. Brother Daniel, you're working mammal too. I never seen nothing forged like that. It's an amazing piece. And he left it, and I got to thinking this morning. Well, wouldn't it be a blessing if when we felt our axe head start to get loose, and I don't want to throw this young man on the bus, but I just want to say this in my life. When I feel this axe head go to wobbling, it's not going to be long, honey. It's coming off. And let me preach you a second sermon, get back. Be careful, don't fly off the handle. Some of y'all, when you're working so, boy, ain't it easy to fly off the handle. I do that with Miss Renee every now and then. Any of y'all ever have a smart mouth at home? It don't never help me. The work stops. Somebody say amen. Boy, it's quiet this morning down at the Liberty Baptist Church. But you know, I don't want to throw him on the bus. I asked you. Maybe it got loose. He didn't tighten it up. Maybe he was taking a swing and he missed. And it was such a lick that hit that handle that loosened that head. I got to thinking with this old hatchet this morning, this old forged axe head. You know something, when I feel it going to get loose, I need to take that hammer of the Word of God and hit it. I need to get on my knees and with prayer and tighten it. I need to help somebody out and tighten it. I need to get back in my prayer closet, tighten it. I need to pay my tithes. Some of y'all used to tithe, but you quit tithing because you think it don't mean nothing to God. It still means something to God, and it's still right to pay your tithe. Boy, that's weak on Sunday morning. Honey, write another check. Honey, write another check. You say, preacher, that don't work. It has at my house. And you can belittle me all you want to. All I can tell you is work down where me and my wife live. Well, this is fun. I want to ask you something today. Do you get out of the car like this now? Do you go into your home? Do you go into your job like this? You've lost your effectiveness. Many years when I was at Pepsi, Brother Vince can vouch to this. I had to stay sharp for God. People was watching every move I made. How I made decisions. Did I keep my word? Was my handshake my bond? Could they trust me? And you know, all through that career, I've noticed the devil many times would try to loosen that head. But thank God, Brother Mike, it's what some of you don't realize. I had a church that I could come to. The man of God had preached to me, or I would see a sermon that spoke to my heart. The saints of God would gather around me and help me, and it would tighten that head back. Look how many people used to get out of a car with their axe on their shoulder, ready to go do the work. And now all they have is a relic in the bottom of Jordan. But I want to close this sermon this morning. The expression, look what he done, verse 5. Now, this is where I wanted to tell you earlier, and I don't want to miss this about this sermon. Y'all think about this just a minute. This Bible's loaded. Now, look what it says. There was one failing a beam. Preacher, does God love me? Can I tell you, Brother Dwayne, as you said so many times, God don't see numbers. He sees individuals. Here was one person that the work had stopped, and God highlighted him in 2 Kings chapter number 6. You see, you may think that God don't care, but me and you are individuals, and the little things care to God. Isn't it amazing? Let me ask y'all today before we leave. How many people was working and chopping, you think? Reckon how many was chopping? 80? Brother Jim may be a little school. 20? Could have been 300. I don't know. But everybody else was chopping. But one, it stopped. And it affected the whole party. Can I tell you, stay sharp for God. We need you here. They were singing a while ago. The family was singing about the blood of Jesus washed away all sins. I thought about something yesterday that I'd done in my childhood that I'm so ashamed of. Brother Adam, I'm so thankful that's under the blood. I'll never have to stand guilty before God about those sins. Because Jesus has took them sins away. Jesus cares about you individually. Wouldn't it be a blessing Sunday morning? We're going back in that building, the Lord willing, next Sunday morning, the first time since July 4th weekend. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd all get out of the car with our axe sharpened, tight on the head, ready to go for the honor and the glory of God? Sir, ma'am, I don't take this lightly. 30 years ago, as a young preacher, I'd have told you to move on. But let me tell you something. There's some things that has hit me in my life I couldn't move on. It had my work stopped. My head was broke. My head was broke. Somebody look up. My head was broke. But God fixed it. God can fix you this morning. Mom and daddies, are you raising your children like this? Are you raising them like this? Are you at your job like this? Or like this? Miss Sherry had come this morning. There was something that happened in this passage. I read it to you, that's so amazing. It's very important in this message of what happened. You see, not only was there an expression, there was an exhortation. Look what the man of God said. Where fell it? Where'd it go? Where's the last place you seen it? Boy, in our life, you know, I was thinking this morning, maybe I'm too long-winded. I've studied a lot about this through the night this morning. But I'm a person that whatever I do, I'm going to do it with both feet. I'm all in. I'm cold or hot. And if I'm not careful, I will allow things in my life, from hunting to fishing to golfing, to whatever you may enjoy, you may allow that to come into your life. And before you know it, you have quit watching. And no longer are you effective like you were before. Listen to me. Everybody needs time off. Listen to me. Everybody needs vacation. Everybody needs something that you enjoy to do. Everybody needs that. The Bible teaches us that. But we must keep in balance. Keep our eyes on the prize. Now this is what happens. The man of God said, where fell it? And look what he done, Brother Vince. He cut down a tree. It had life in it. And he took that tree. Did you know it's the same word as in the book of Galatians about the cross? The same word. Can I tell you one day that the greatest tree that ever lived was cut down? Jesus was put on that tree. And now that tree brings life. You see, that iron simply fell by depravity right in the bottom. But Elisha cried and he said, where fell it? And what's this confession? You think confession's not good for you between the Lord? Look what he said. He showed him the place. You know we're never going to get any better till we show the Lord the place. God showed me something, studying this yesterday about my life. He showed him the place. And then watch this. The Bible said he cast that tree in the water and the iron did swim. But that ain't the end of the story. Look what happened. He had to take a hold of it. By faith.